Well, I failed to mention earlier when we were talking about that song, I failed to mention that this young man and his little sister fully recovered. I think I left that part out. They are completely healthy and normal, and God is good. God is good. Well, I want to welcome you this morning. Glad that you're with us. And I hope you feel that Holy Spirit that we've sung about this morning, that we've talked about. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit this morning. Is anybody out? You seem kind of, come on, pick it up. Seem a little lethargic this morning. Did y'all not get a good night's sleep? What? Richard? Are you good? Richard's good? Rest of us ought to be good. Glad that you are with us this morning, especially if you are our guest. We're glad that you're here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It's got a blue stripe on the top, and it says guests. And we changed, very specifically changed our wording on that. We used to refer to people that were visiting with us as visitors, but we want you to be our guests. We want you to, it's not like you're just visiting, just passing through, but we want you to know that we welcome you as guests this morning. So if you are our guest this morning, I invite you to fill that card out. You don't have to do that, but we'd love for you to. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you if I haven't already, or even if I have. I'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And also have a free gift for our guests, so please come and meet me after the service. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, talk more. I'll set this up a little bit more in just a moment, but we're going to pick it up in verse 20, Galatians 2:20. I love this passage. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and we ask that you now come and speak in power and authority. We ask you to soften our hearts and to change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Do they still make Etch-a-Sketches? They do? I didn't know if they made the old school. I've got this little old cheapy. It's not an Etch-a-Sketch, but it's kind of like it. And I remember, you know, when those first came out, I mean, man, that was cool stuff. This particular one, you don't shake it, but it has a different little method. We got this nasty old thing that we deal with, and Carlene was talking about it with the children this morning. This when our heart condition is not quite right, this is what we call it. And we tend to deal with this. We tend to try to, if I were to try to scrub on that and clean it up myself, it's just going to be getting messier, right? What we need is something to wipe it out, don't we? That's what the blood of Jesus does. Amen. That's what the blood of Jesus does. This is kind of, never even thought about this before, but I actually got this text this morning. One of our members who's traveling texted me and said that they saw a billboard that said, even mosquitoes realize that there's power in the blood. Don't you like that? I thought that was pretty witty. And by the way, I am a mosquito magnet. Cheryl will be out. We'll be outside, and Cheryl, she's just having the time of her life, and I'm over there swatting. And I don't know. I think it's because I'm so sweet, is what. We're going to continue our series today. Lessons from Galatians. Lessons from Galatians. We're going to be working through Galatians for the next few weeks. Today we're dealing with these verses in chapter 2. Today's message is your past doesn't define you. Your past doesn't define you. You know, we struggle with that, don't we? Things that we have done, things that have been done to us. And let me tell you, we have an enemy, the devil, and he deals in shame. I mean, that's guilt and shame. That's his weapon against us. He wants to bind us up in guilt and shame. But Jesus came to set us free. He came to set us free. And I hear it all the time. People, you know, well, you know, I've done this and I've done that and I'm not worthy and so on and so forth. And I mean, I'd say you're a perfect candidate for God's grace, because I'm just going to kind of jump in here in just a moment. But Paul is addressing the Galatians, and some people call Galatians Paul's angry letter. He's not happy. He's not happy. Because the Judaizers, we talked some about this last week, the Judaizers had come in and they were perverting the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul's not happy. There's a saying that we choose a hill to die on. There's some things that are worthy of us dying on that hill. Paul is willing to die on this hill. You know, we can disagree with a lot of things, basically Paul is saying, but the gospel isn't one of them. When you begin to pervert the gospel, he gets serious. And last week we talked about that. He starts out Galatians 1, he says, I'm astonished. He tells them, I'm astonished. I've shared the gospel. You received the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and now you're letting all these people come in and pervert that. And you're starting to turn away from the true gospel to the law. And then he says in verse 8 and 9 last week in Galatians 1, he says, now I guess last week it just kind of dawned on me how serious this is. He says, anyone preaching this a false gospel, you should really scold them. Is that what he says? No, he doesn't say that. He says, let them be eternally condemned. He says it twice. This is serious stuff. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that the blood of Jesus wipes away our sin, that we are no longer bound to the law. So I just want to, I've got some points that I want to make this morning in regards to this passage. First is, we are a broken people in need of salvation. We're messed up. Anybody besides me messed up? I mean, I have heard this in the past that part of our communion liturgy is confessing that we are a broken people, that we are sinners, and that we are not living up to God's standard. And I had someone tell me one time that, well, I'm living up to that. I work, I serve, I do these different things and everything. It's like, no, outside of Christ, we are a broken people. We are born in, we come into this world. We are conceived in sin. We are a broken, sinful people, desperately needing someone to save us. Scripture tells us that the punishment for sin is death. There's this eternal separation from God that sin produces. We are a broken people in need of salvation. Romans says it. Romans talks about this a lot. For the wages, in other words, the punishment of sin is death. We're broken. We need help. Help. We need help. this passage today. I have been crucified with Christ. Why do we need to be crucified with Christ? Why was Christ crucified? Because somebody had to pay this debt that we owed. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Church, until we understand that, we just don't get it. If we think that, like the Galatians had been led astray, that's like, hey, just observe the law. Just be circumcised, man. Just be, if you're a Greek and you haven't been circumcised, you know, it's okay. Just be circumcised. Eat the right kind of foods. You know, obey the law, and you're good. No. It's only through Christ that we are saved. Secondly, that leads me into this. We are saved. So we're in need of being saved. We are saved by grace through faith, not works. I mentioned this passage last week. A man and a woman is not justified by observing the law. So to be justified is to be, I've heard this many times, but I like the way of putting that is to be justified is just as if we haven't sinned. The condition is it's just as if we've never sinned when you are justified. A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, not works. And Paul goes on to say, I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, this justification being made right, if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Now, I've said this, I've mentioned it, but it obviously made a huge impact on me. It's probably been about 10 or 12 years ago. And I had a conversation with a college professor who I wrote a paper, and long story, but I wrote a paper, and I got a good grade on the paper, but he's got all these comments in the margins. And I told Cheryl, I said, does he seem mad at me? Because some of the things I'm talking about, basically the need for the cross. It was a religion class, and I said, does he seem kind of mad at me? She said, he seemed kind of mad to me. So I asked him, could I visit with him after class? And we had this conversation in his office, and nice man. But the more I talked to him, I thought, man, we're not in the same galaxy here. This man's teaching young people religion. And so I said, Professor, do you believe that everybody's going to heaven? I mean, everybody? Without even taking a breath, he said, yes, I do. And I said, I thought for a second, and I said, why did Jesus have to hang on a cross? What was that about? And again, without even taking a breath, he said, I'm not sure that happened. Man, this is serious stuff. If because Christianity is not about just being good. It's about a God that's good, and it's about a God that loved us so much that he sent his son to hang on the cross to pay the debt that you and I owed. And we're no longer bound to this law. I read this week, and I really liked it. The law only condemns. It cannot save. Hello? Is this on? Is this on? The law only condemns. It cannot save. Who saves? Jesus saves. The law, Romans says this so many times, the law makes us conscious of our sin. It tells us what sin is. Makes us aware of our sin, but it doesn't make us righteous. It doesn't justify us. Ephesians, Paul says it to the Ephesians this way. It is by grace. Now, I want to stop for a second. Grace is receiving something we don't deserve. You understand that? That with emphasis on something we don't deserve. We deserve death, but by grace through faith, we receive life. It is by grace You have been saved. There it is. We need to be saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by work, so that no one may boast. And I've said this before, but if good works is sufficient to for eternal life, who receives the glory for that? You and I. But no, it's sadly insufficient. Our good works is sadly insufficient. It's only by grace through faith that we are saved. And God gets the glory for that. I don't know about you, but I'm a mess without Jesus. I know this is Christianity 101. I get it. But I tell you, our churches are full of people that don't get it. We must hear it over and over again. We are a broken people in need of salvation, and we're saved by grace through faith, not works. And lastly, we have been bought at a price and now live by faith for Him. You know, I say it all the time when we have communion. It's a costly meal. It cost something for our Savior to buy our redemption. It cost something. I think about, and I know we probably many of you have sat through the what's the movie, Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. Man, that, I got to, I mean, how many of you have sat through that movie? If you haven't, I encourage you to rent it, watch it. It's, and I'll tell you up front, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. But it gives us a glimpse of how much God loves us, that He'd be willing to give up His Son. Not, you know, they didn't, I'd say this all the time, they didn't tie Jesus up and drag Him kicking and screaming to the cross. No, He went willingly to the cross because He loves us. He predicted and He said, I'm going to Jerusalem and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to be risen. He knew what was coming, and He did it because He loves us. We're bought at a price, and we live in a culture now. We really live in a very self-absorbed culture. Anybody, can I get an amen on that? I mean, we really live in a self-absorbed culture. It's all about, well, my rights and your rights, and really, generally, it's not even your rights, it's just my rights. I mean, that's the way our culture operates. I have the right for this and the right for that. But we have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. We're living out His life. You are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. There is there's a song, I meant to have it to play, but I'll just tell you about it, and many of you have heard it, called Dear Younger Me. It's by Mercy Me. Anybody know the song? And he's talking about if he could just go back and talk to his younger self and tell him the things he's learned. And it's a great song. You can YouTube it and watch it. But I just want to read a couple of lines here that he says. At the end of the song, he says it this way. Dear younger me, it's not your fault. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. You are holy, he said. You are righteous. You are one of the redeemed, set apart, a brand new heart, and you are free indeed. He's talking about, if I could just tell my younger self, you don't have to carry this stuff anymore. Christ. Christ has redeemed us. And there's lots of things that can go on here. guilt. Where'd it go? There it is. This is for three and older, so I'm having trouble with it. We don't have to carry that stuff. Cheryl and I went to watch Ben-Hur last night at the Paramount. Anybody seen Ben-Hur, the original Ben-Hur? That's that Charlton Heston got around, man. We got home, or we were dismissed at 11:20, so if I'm a little sleepy-eyed this morning, that's a long movie. It's a great movie. But at the end of the movie, they're depicting the crucifixion of Christ, and it begins to rain and storm it when he dies, and it shows his blood washing down the cross and then running down the hill. And miraculous things are happening in the movie. Man, we are washed white as snow through the blood of Jesus. We don't have to carry that stuff anymore. It's not our fault. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. It's the cross was that place where Christ exchanged our brokenness for his holiness, his righteousness. This transaction takes place, and all we have to do is receive it. So I want to ask you this morning, if you just bow your head. I know many of you have known Jesus a long time. But I've known people who've gone to church for decades faithfully and didn't know what Jesus had done for them. I've said it before, but residing in a garage, standing in a garage, doesn't make you a car. So if this morning, if you don't get this, I just pray that right now, it's just you and the Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes and just ask Him to reveal to you the state of your soul. Do you really know Him? Is He really your Lord and your Savior? If the answer to that question is yes, then hallelujah. If the answer is no, or I don't know, what a great day to know. What a great day to be sure. You can drive a stake in the ground today. Dear younger me, you never meant to carry any of this beyond the cross. You're holy. You're righteous. You're redeemed. You're set apart. You have a brand new heart. You're free from the condemnation of the law. If that's you this morning, don't leave this place without seeking me out. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it means. Let's talk about the next step. Our past doesn't define us, Jesus, because of you. We are defined by the cross. And we praise you for it. Help us to live out our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.